Yesterday we learned the next strategy of the Yetzer Hara. After a person knows the Emet and also knows that the Emet is correlated to pleasures and success in this world. So basically, he's got it all. He knows what's right. He also knows that doing the right thing will get him to the right places. He'll enjoy his life. He'll be productive in this world. He'll have eternity. It's a beautiful package. What could the Yetzer Hara do to such a person that already has such clarity? So we saw yesterday that his next strategy is that he basically looks to keep the person occupied. Not in bad things, not in averot, in necessary items, but he makes the necessary items much more expanded and much more needed than they really are. So he makes the person basically focus, as we said, on eating, on drinking, on traveling, on clothing, on business, on working. All things that nobody will dispute are necessary, but he will bring a person to swim and drown eventually in his activities that, again, are necessary, but he makes them overwhelming to the point that a person no longer has time to think about what he needs to do. So this strategy is a strategy of distraction. When a person wants something and knows what he wants, the most you could do is distract him in other areas so that he won't have time to even think about what he needs to do. There is a story they bring, a mashal, about a king who had a desperate situation in his family. His daughter wasn't feeling so well, and he was so desperate, he said, "Whoever is able to help my daughter and she will come back to herself, I will let him go into the most precious warehouse that I own. I own thousands of warehouses, but there's one where I have all the most expensive, valuable items. I have one warehouse. I will let the person sit in the warehouse for an hour and take whatever he wants." So a fellow comes and does the job. Now he's waiting for his payment.
Warehouse.
The king is thinking about what he promised the guy. You know, sometimes you make promises and then you don't think about what you promised until after. So he's thinking, what am I, crazy? I'm letting this guy in my warehouse to take all the items. He doesn't know what to do. On one hand, he can't renege on his promise. Everybody knows it was a worldwide known promise, so everybody knows about it. Everyone knows what the guy did. He can't do anything. So he's sitting with his advisors and he's trying to figure out, how can he help himself in this situation? So he had one very brilliant advisor. He told him, "I have an idea." He says, "We have to go see what this guy loves. What is he very into? What's he infatuated with? Is he infatuated with music? What kind of music? Maybe he loves flowers. What kind of flowers? Maybe he likes sports. What type of sports? He said, I want to do a study on the guy. I come back to you in a few weeks. He came back to the kid after a few weeks. The guy, he says, don't worry, we got it. We're going to avoid any kind of damage to the warehouse. He says, the guy loves a certain type of music. He says, we're going to go. We're going to get a band who plays this music in the finest way. He says, once we have the music on in the warehouse, he says, you have nothing to worry about. So the guy's all excited. He goes into the warehouse. He's ready to take all. He has his bags with him. All of a sudden, he hears the most soothing, enjoyable sound. He's sitting there, closes his eyes, his soul starts to rise with the music. And he's just all over it. He's singing, he's dancing, he's enjoying. 15 minutes later, he realizes, oh no, 15 minutes passed. What am I doing? He starts to go. They put on a new song. His favorite song. Wow, he never heard it like this. What a song. Unbelievable. One song to the other. Hour passed. The bell rang. They told him, Atkan, see you later. It's a beautiful story of everybody's life. Guy Hashem puts us in a warehouse. We have a warehouse here. Diamonds are all over the place. Each person you meet is a diamond. Each nice word that you say to a person, each mitzvah you have, each opportunity you have to give something, to learn something, to do something, to connect with Hashem. Diamonds all over the road. Small diamonds, big diamonds, all over the place. But what happens in this when we come in? And the Yetzirah is putting all kinds of music on. Puts this music, that music. We have in this world, it's called the world of opportunity. It's a world where we're given the opportunity to collect diamonds along the way. Famous story of the Gaon of Vilna when he was on his deathbed crying because he was feeling his tzitzit. Someone asked him, why are you crying? The Gaon of Vilna, who was a Gaon in Torah in so many areas, his gadlut is beyond our imagination. I'm still crying in this world for nothing. For nothing, zero. You don't have to do it, cost you anything. Doesn't even cost you effort. You put on tzitzit every day. You have tzitzit on all day long, you're getting mitzvot. He said, I'm about to leave the world. I can't even do that. This world has so many opportunities of a person elevating himself through Torah, through mitzvot, through people, through family, through his children, through his character, through his money, through everything that Hashem gives him. So many opportunities. But this is the world of opportunity. If a person wasn't distracted, everybody here would be just taking everything to the max. The Yetzirah distracts us. That's what we learned yesterday. I want to share with you on this subject, first of all, the words of the Mesilat Yesharim, which is really where we're up to. That's why we came here, because of these words. And finally, we got up to what the Mesilat Yesharim is trying to teach us. Says the Mesilat Yesharim, he says, Ve'ulam hinezot be'emet ahat mitahbulot ha'yetzera ume'ormato. He says, let me tell you about one of the great strategies of the Yetzera in our lives. Lehachbid avodato b'tmidut. Alibot b'neha adam, which means to keep a person heavily occupied in worldly matters. Again, not bad things. We're not talking about a guy who would occupy himself in bad things. Because remember, this guy knows the truth. He knows the emet, and he knows consequences. He's not going to be involved in anything bad. At least, not in the beginning. The Yetzer Hara will be machbid. Machbid avodato, which means
It's his avodah. He really needs to do it. He really needs to eat. He really needs to drink. He really needs to go somewhere. He needs to work. He needs to do it. But the Yetzirah will take what he needs to do, and he will be machbid. Machbid means he'll make it heavier than it is, which means he will make it more of a priority than it's supposed to be. He will make it more grand than it needs to be. Le'achmid bitmidut. Bitmidut means tamid. Tamid means constantly. Means you finish eating, you have a drink. You finish drinking, you have a game. You have a game, you go somewhere else. You go to tennis, you go to football, you go to this, you go. You're all over the place. He makes sure bitmidut. Before you finish one item, he gives you another item. Used to be in this world, at some point, you get so tired, you get bored. So you start thinking, I'm bored, what should I do? But today, in today's society, there's no more boredom. Everybody's got a little phone in their hand, and there's never a minute that is idle. A person actually is always idle, but he's never idle for anything that's important. He's always busy, busy, busy. He goes to the bathroom, he's busy. He goes anywhere. Anyway, he's in the shower, he's busy. Wherever he is, he can't escape. Bitmidut. Bitmidut means keeping the person constantly occupied from item to item, non-stop. Ad, says the Mislei Sharim, until shelo yisha'er lahem revach lehitbonin. He wants to make sure you don't have space to think. The key, the goal, is don't give people revach. Don't give them a leeway to think a little bit. Will he stakel be'ezeh derech hem olchim? And to look, where are they headed? Where are you going? Are you living forever, sir? If you're not living forever, so where are you headed? Time is getting less. You used to be 13, today you're 28. You used to be 28, today you're 50. You used to be 50, you're 75. Where are you going? How long are you going to be here for? You're given a few days, a few years in the warehouse of the Creator. Where are you headed? Could you tell me? You know, it's one thing if a guy tells you, I'm headed towards this. Could be it's the wrong thing. But you know, there's a certain amount of respect when people know where they're heading. Guy says, I'm headed to Gainer. That's where I want to go. Okay, I say I respect you. Yeah, at least you're headed somewhere. But the problem is most people, they can't even answer the question. They're not headed anywhere. They're not even thinking about where they're headed. Ki yodea, says the Mislei Yesharim. The Yetzirah knows. He says, ilule hayu samim libam, that if people would actually think a little bit about where they're headed, he says, vadai. Vadai means for sure. Shemiyad, immediately. Hayu mathilim, they would start. Lehinahem ma'asehem, they would start realizing, wow, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time doing this or that? I don't need to do that. That's not important. I don't need to do so much of that. I don't have to be in work at 5 a.m. I don't have to take on every business project. At the end of the day, how much money can I make? How much money am I going to leave with me in this world? I have to work. I have to make parnasah. But I got to leave time for more things in my life. I got to accomplish more. What am I doing here? My legacy isn't going to be how much money I made. I need to figure out where I could put my kohot. So I got to work. I got to do it, obviously. But I have to leave revach. I have to leave room. You know, at the end of the day, if you think a guy lives 100 years, how much revach he really has to make something of his life? How much space is there really? Let's take all that you have in a day. You sleep 8 hours. Let's say a normal person sleeps 8 hours. 8 hours, you sleep meat. Eating, let's say an hour. So you have already 9 hours are gone. Now you got, now also, if take care of yourself, shower, take care, bathroom, whatever you have to do, give it another half hour. Yeah, hour, you want an hour? Hour, good. 10 hours. Okay, good.
10 hours. What do you have to do? All right, you gotta go to work. Between the commute and going to work and back, talking at least 10 hours. So already we lost 20 shayable from 24. Yes? What else do you have to do? We have to go once in a while to the doctor. You gotta go visit the dentist once in a while. You have to go. You have to do things. You have to go to weddings. And you have to take care of your children. You gotta do homework with that. You gotta sit with your wife. You gotta talk to her. Say hello. It's over. 24 hours. Done. It's over. How much real time does that... You know, if you sleep 8 hours a day for 100 years, that means you sleep for 33 years. Out of 100 years, you slept 33. You slept 33. You work 43. How much, you know, how much time at the end of the day does a person really have in the world to make something of his life? So that's a normal person. That means the revach, the amount of time that a person really has to make something of his life, is not that much to begin with. It's not 100 years. We don't have 100 years. We have in the 100 years, if we make it to 100 years, right? We have, and by the way, the last 10 years, between 90 and 100 are not so, usually so power. It can be productive, not with the same energy and power. The first 13 years are for sure not productive. Today, not 13, I would say, maybe first 30 years. So to knock off the first 30, then the guy finds himself, 30 in the beginning, 10 or 15 in the end. So what do you got in the end of the day? How much revach? Revach to begin with is not that much. To make something of your life, to begin with, you don't have that much time. And the Yetzirah's job is to make sure that even the revach that you have, the little revach you have, he makes sure he plugs in everything. Another 2 hours of work that are unnecessary, another hour of eating not necessary, another 2 hours of it, and then it's gone. Doesn't take that much to clog up all the empty spaces that a person has in life. It's not that many. Who would have dreamt that you sleep for 33 years? It's an unbelievable thing. But that's what happens. He says, the Yetzirah knows that if people would actually pay attention to where they're supposed to go in life and what they're doing here, he says, miyad, vadai. He says, vadai, for sure, she miyad, immediately. They would start to think, they would start to feel bad about so much time wasted. Ve'ayda harata olechet. And their harata means their regret would continue mitgaberet by him. They would get that, it would get stronger, a healthy regret, not an unhealthy regret. A healthy regret is when you regret something that you could change. And you did something and you should change it. I remember once I heard a story of a young man getting married. He went, I forgot to which great rabbi. This is going back maybe 200 years. Maybe 150 years. He went to his rabbi. He says, Rabbi, I'm getting married. I need you to give me a little musad before I get married. He says, every day, look at your watch for a few seconds and see how the seconds are moving. Just remember, those seconds never come back. So make sure, take a look at your watch every day. Pay attention to the clock that's moving. And this is your biggest musar. Time is not on our team. Time is always moving, not waiting for us. We, thank God, have the opportunity. This was, by the way, this was the advice of Par'o. Hazal tell us that Par'o is a great example of the Yetzirah. So when we read about Par'o, we also understand our Yetzirah. It says by Par'o that when they came When Moshe Rabbeinu came to ask on behalf of the people that we need to go, give us some time to serve our Creator. So the Pasuk says, it says that Paro, he went ahead and he made their work even more difficult. After Moshe and Aharon came to ask him for more opportunity, like they came and said, Vayomeru el Paro, they said to Paro, Ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, this is what Hashem said, Shalach et ami, send my people. Vayahogu li bamidbar, they need to make a holiday in the desert. Meaning hog, meaning they're going to bring korbanot, they're going to serve me in the desert. They said to him, let us go for 3 days in the desert so we'll bring sacrifices to our Creator. So the king of Egypt, the Pasuk says, told Moshe and Aharon, why are you disturbing the people? Why are you bothering them from their work? So the Pasuk says, after he gave more work to Am Yisrael, whatever work they had before, it doubled. Says the Pasuk, here are the words of Paro. Tichbad ha'avodah al ha'anashim. Let the avodah, let the work become heavier on the people. Ve'yahasuba, and they will be involved in it. Ve'ali yish'u be'divrei shaker. Which means that they won't let their imagination start to think about things that they shouldn't be thinking about. This was the advice of Paro. How do we get these people are starting to have dreams of freedom, of going to the desert, of serving God? Says Paro, we got to stop this. So what did he do? Did he take guns and shoot them? No. He says, I have advice. Give them more work. Give them more real estate. Give them more business. Give them more companies. Give them more travel. Give them more. This way, you keep them more occupied and they won't have any more thoughts about where they're headed in their life. This is the advice of the Yetzer Hara. Tichvad alehem, tichvad avodah al anashim v'yasuba. Let the work be more and more. Person has to be careful that in their life they don't fall to this Yetzer Hara, to be occupied in things that are necessary, but overindulge in those things. I want to share with you one nekuda before you go. Pasuk says, Ve'ata tedaber el b'nei Yisrael lemor. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Ach et shabbatotai tishmoru. Make sure you keep my Shabbat. Ki ot hi b'ni u'b'nechem ledorotechem. It is a sign for you and me, b'ni u'b'nechem, for generations. Listen to these words, ready? Lada'at, in order that you will know, ki ani Adonai mekaddishchem, that I, Hashem, am the one who gives kiddushah into your life. So again, one more time. Why should we keep Shabbat? Because it is a sign, it is a reminder that me and the Creator have something in common. We have a ot that's beni ubenecher, that me and my Creator have a connection. I have a higher purpose than the physical world. I have a relationship with the Creator of the world who is eternal, and the nature of our relationship is eternal, which means I have a connection to the physical world. Any connection you have to the physical world will expire. Money will expire. Real estate will expire.
A house will expire. Food will expire. Everything will expire. That's one kind of relationship we have. But we have another relationship. We have a relationship with the creator of the world. That relationship and what happens in that relationship is eternal. So Hashem says, I gave you the Shabbat. Ki oti beni ubenechem nedorotechem. Ladat. And this Shabbat will make it known to you. Ki ani Adonai mekadishchem. That I am the one, Hashem, I will sanctify you. I will bring holiness into your life. I will bring godliness into your life.
What does that mean? What is that ending? Ladaat.
Shabbat. You know what Shabbat is for? Ladaat, to know. What's the purpose of Shabbat? That's what this pasuk is telling you. Ladaat, to know that Hashem is the one that brings holiness into your life.
Let me share with you a Gemara. Gemara says, Hanoten matana lahavero.
Someone who gives a gift to his friend. Tzarich lehodio. You have to tell him. No anonymous gifts. Anonymous gifts are charity. A gift is not the item, it's the person. Charity is the item, not the person. When you give charity, anonymous is the best. When you give a matana, you have to tell the person. Because the whole point of the gift is to show the person that you love them through the gift. Therefore, says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, if you give a gift to your friend, make sure you tell him that you gave it to him. Says the Gemara, where do we know this from? Sheneemar. Because the pasuk says, Ladaat ki ani Adonai mekadishchem. When Hashem gave the Shabbat, he didn't just say, keep the Shabbat. He says, Ladaat. I'm making it known. This Shabbat is there to make your life more meaningful, to make your life elevated, to make your life eternal. Says the Gemara, Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana tova yeshli bebet kenazai. I have a beautiful gift in my warehouse. Hashem's warehouse is full of good things. But Hashem says, I have one that's very special. Veshabbat Shema. And it is Shabbat. That's the name of it. Vani mevakesh litena leYisrael. I'm going to give Shabbat to Am Yisrael as a gift. Lech vehodiem. Go tell them. Don't just tell them that I'm giving them a mitzvah of Shabbat. Tell them this Shabbat is a gift. Mikan amar Rashbag. Rashbag learns from here. Hanoten pat letinok. If you feed a child, somebody else's child, tzarich leodi aleimo, tell his mother that you fed her child. Bottom line is, we see from here that Shabbat is more than a mitzvah. I mean, every mitzvah is a gift. But there seems to be in Shabbat a greater element of a gift that's beyond the mitzvah itself, which means every time we have a mitzvah, the mitzvah is a gift for what it is. But it sounds like Shabbat is not just a gift for Shabbat. It sounds like it's a gift for more than the mitzvah. Because remember, every mitzvah is a gift. So what makes Shabbat different? But here we're seeing that Shabbat is called a matana. Hashem says, I'm giving you guys a gift. It's a gift that expands beyond the mitzvah. Remember, every mitzvah is a gift. You do the mitzvah, Hashem gave you a gift. But Shabbat, it sounds like the gift of Shabbat is beyond the actual mitzvah. What is that? Ladaat. Tell them that this Shabbat is going to help them know that I, Hashem, am here to make their life kadosh, to make their life holy, to make their life on a very high level of accomplishment. What does that mean? So let me tell you what it means. It means that besides for the mitzvah of Shabbat, Shabbat, when kept properly, has the capability of bringing a person to think. That's why the Torah says on Shabbat, there's no melacha on Shabbat. No occupation on Shabbat with anything that is worldly. On Shabbat, a person has revach. A person has time. He has time to think. And if that time is used properly, it will not just affect Shabbat. It will affect his entire life. Hashem says, this Shabbat that I gave you, it's lada'at that you should know. Ki ani Adonai mekadishchem, I sent you into this world for more than eating and drinking and working. I sent you into this world to become kadosh, to leave a legacy of greatness, to become a holy, great person. I have given you that opportunity. Why do I need Shabbat to tell me that Hashem gave me the opportunity of being a kadosh? I can't be kadosh on Sundays. I can't be kadosh on Mondays. Of course you could. But during the week we get busy. Hashem says, I have a matana. I have a gift. This Shabbat is a prescription that guarantees that you will never forget what your purpose in life is. I gave you one day that you take off from any worldly occupation, and it gives you the time to think about what you need to do in your life. That is the matana, the gift of Shabbat. Of course, that's why Hachamim gave us parameters, you know, some things the Torah didn't say you can't do. Torah gave us the guidelines. But sometimes you have to know the purpose so you can understand that even sometimes it's within the guidelines, but it's not the right thing to do. There are certain things in life you don't have to be told not to do them in order to reach the goal. You just don't do that. Therefore, there are things on Shabbat the Hachamim told us that's not for the Shabbat atmosphere. People do a lot of things on Shabbat that are not for Shabbat. For example, people like to go from place to place to socialize on Shabbat. That's not what Shabbat is for. Shabbat is not meant to have mazah parties every hour. It's the wrong thing to do on Shabbat. Shabbat is not a social day. Again, does it mean you can't be social on Shabbat? Of course. You see people, you talk to them. But to make Shabbat a day of socializing is basically taking the gift of Shabbat and throwing it in the garbage. Because Shabbat is meant for a person to be a little bit by himself and to think a little. That's the whole point. But if you keep yourself occupied, going to this place, going to that gathering, going to that house, going to this thing, again, you're back to square one. A Shabbat is meant to be a day of rest. We say in the tefillah, Yom Menucha Ukdusha Le'amecha Natata. Get those words? Hashem, you gave your nation Yom Menucha, the day of rest, Ukdusha. It's the type of rest that has to lead to thoughts of Kiddusha. Rest alone is not the purpose of Shabbat. Yom Menucha Ukdusha. So what does Shabbat look like? Shabbat has, I would say, three areas. One area is rest. Physically, a person gets a good sleep, little nap in the afternoon, there's a rest. There's a rest element to Shabbat, that a person physically rests, which gives them also the time to rest mentally and to be able to give him revach to think. Shabbat has, besides rest, has ta'anug.
Ta'anug means to enjoy the Shabbat through food, through different areas of enjoyment. The third area of Shabbat is that a person adds more spirituality into his day than he could on a normal day, which means that a person learns on Shabbat, goes to shiurim on Shabbat more than he normally does. He has no distractions. He's not looking at his phone. He is focused, taking advantage of his time on Shabbat to learn. The tefillah on Shabbat is supposed to be a tefillah that comes with focus. Unfortunately, you come to tefillah on Shabbat, you start talking to your neighbor, then you blew it. You're distracting yourself on Shabbat. Shabbat is a day that you have menucha, where you rest, where you enjoy the situations and the meals, basically, enjoy your family, and you download spirituality on a higher level than you do during the week. That is what Shabbat is supposed to look like. It's not supposed to look like a day where a person looks for distractions. Unfortunately, even Shabbat, if you could find some loopholes, you can also find ways to distract yourself. For example, you could just hang out with your friends all day. You didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong. But it's not Shabbat. That's why Hachamim said, on Shabbat, you're not supposed to talk mundane talk. Why do you do that? It's not from the Torah. Nothing wrong. I'm not talking about something that's asur. But when you talk too much mundane talk, so your whole day is spent talking. And again, you don't leave yourself an opportunity to use the matana. The matana of Shabbat, Lada'at Hashem says, here by Shabbat, I didn't just give you a mitzvah. I gave you a matana that's going to ride through the entire week and through your life. Hashem gave us once a week a day where we don't have to work, a day where we focus on our kiddushah, a day, by the way, why is the day of Shabbat also ta'anu? Menuha, I understand. And you should have rest, I understand. How else are you going to get the guy to think? To put an influx of kiddushah into your life, I understand. What is the pleasure of Shabbat? Why is Onek Shabbat part of Shabbat? What does that have to do with Shabbat? Why do you have to enjoy the Shabbat for? I understand you need to download more spirituality, learn more, pray better, read more. But what does the Onek Shabbat have to do with it? The answer is that a person should never forget that Kiddusha is Onek, that holiness is the pleasure. So we always want to make sure then you get that message on Shabbat, that you enjoy and you fill up your meals with spirituality, Divrei Torah, learning. This is what Shabbat's all about. A person who keeps Shabbat properly, he is a person that will not allow the Yetzer Hara to put too much weight on all the other things that he keeps him occupied with. Yeah, one day a week at least, that you keep it right, and that gives you the ability to think, and it will guide you for the entire week. This is the stop once every 7 days Hashem wants us to make. This is what we need to focus on, Shabbat. Each person should look at his Shabbat and ask himself, how I can take full advantage of this matana. Dress right on Shabbat. Dress regal on Shabbat. Shabbat is a way. There's a way to dress, there's a way to talk, there's a way to spend your time. Even if you don't pray the whole week the way you're supposed to, on Shabbat, take it upon yourself. On Shabbat, you're not going to talk during tefillah. On Shabbat, you're going to come on time to tefillah, and you're going to pray the right way. You're going to focus on this. Unfortunately, for many people, Shabbat is a day where they come to shul later than the week. I'm supposed to be that way. Shabbat is supposed to be a time where we take full advantage of the tefillah because we have nothing else bothering us. Shabbat makes sure we have time of learning, time of sleeping, time of rest, a time of pleasure. A person should take upon himself
to make his Shabbat perfect. This way, Shabbat will be the true matana to infuse greatness into his life. Without Shabbat, the avodah will be heavy, heavy, heavy our whole life. And one day, they'll put the alarm clock and say, it's time to go. And then we have nothing. Baruch Hashem for the gift of Shabbat, that we have that opportunity, but we must take advantage of it. Shabbat, we have to do it right in order to get what we can from it for our entire lives. Shabbat Yom Menuha Ukdusha. That is the goal of Shabbat. Have a good day.